Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Yutes. Oyev Pesha. Yutes. Oyev Pesha. Oyev Matzah. A person likes to sin, likes to eat matzah. He's a Passover Jew. No, just joking. Oyev Matzah. He likes to quarrel. Magbia Pischoy Mivake Shom. First opens up his person who elevates his opening. What in the world is the opening? So as you all can guess, it refers to the mouth. A person that speaks with arrogance. He's Magbia. Elevates he his opening of his mouth. Mevakeh shover, he's seeking his own destruction. He will fall into his own trap. Mitzudos yutes oyev mish oyev lifshaya bechaver. A person who loves to rebel, to harm his friend. Haloi, what does that really mean? Yehav matzah, he likes to quarrel, because what's going to happen is kiyas and ribimo. The end will be he will quarrel, he will fight with his friend. Umagbia hane. Anoshim nitzim, nitzim from the word of matzah, of quarreling. Excellent. Umagbia hamedim kol pischei pe, the person who elevates the sound of the opening of his mouth, kiderech gasei haruach, like the balagai, v'hu mevakeh shever, he's seeking his destruction, ki mutedes lovei olav, it is designated to come upon him, ba'avur, ba'avur hagaiva, destruction, shever, will boomerang, will come upon him in punishment for his arrogance. Okay, let's see. Pasuk Yutesid Rashi. Oyev Pesha Lifshoyah. A person that loves to Lifshoyah, to harm Bachaveiro. Oyev Matzah Liskoitet Uriv. That means that is a sign that he likes to quarrel. Magbia Pischoy Medami Begayv Kamo Shoyah Pischoy Pivicho, to guard the opening of your mouth. Okay, so the so what does deep mean? I don't have any midrashim, but the basic idea of this pasuk is very, it's giving an insight into human psychology, that when a person he harms his friend, he goes out into the street and does things that are harmful. The reason why it's not because he likes to harm. That's not the truth. Is he likes the result? He likes the strife. He thrives on machlokes, and being that he likes, that's his desired result. And the nail of the pesha is just a means to come to quarreling. Okay, pasuk chav ikesh lev lo yim. So, to a person that corrupts. He makes crooked his heart. Lo yimsuta. That means that he is a faker. On the outside, he appears to be your best friend, but inside, he's planning and plotting to do you harm. Lo yimsuta. He will not find good. The nebach b'loshon, a person that speaks nebach, he speaks opposite of what he really feels in his heart. Yipol b'ra'ah. He will fall in his own evil. Pasachof the mitzudos tikei shleiv ha'mechashiv ikshos. Person that is mechashiv, he thinks about doing akshos. Akshos, I guess here means corruption. To do things of corruption, so he will ultimately. Say it again?
Or Ikeshu Vesalto, he said.
Ikeshu Vesalto, crookedness. The person that seeks crookedness. Actus v'nebach period v'nebach v'lushanay hamahapich atzma v'lushanay l'dabrit mimus. He speaks if he is your best friend. He's a tam. He's complete with you. But the kirbo inside, deep inside, yosim arvo. There is hatred. There is hatred lurking inside. Who atzmo yipol b'haro asher choshav lezulas. So what he plans for others will come upon him. The lashon of the Gemara is kedera shebishel bo nespashel. He will the kedera which he cooked for others bo nespashel, in that very pot he will be cooked, like the fish that wakes up in the pot and he says, "Who's cooking fish?" And the Balabas says, "You're cooking fish." You ever heard that before?
No.
Who's cooking fish? The fish is. And the Balabas says, "You're cooking fish. You the fish, you're being cooked." Alright, didn't go off well that. Let's go to the next pasuk. Yichof Aleph. Yoyled Kisil Lisugolo. A person who gave birth to a foolish child, lisugolo, it's nothing more than a source of sorrow, of agmas nefesh. V'lo yismach avi novol, the pasuk repeats this theme, and the father of a novol, I guess, is even worse than a kesil. A novol is an evil man, an evil person. What was it? Suga means sorrow. Yogon va'anocha. Sorrow. The father over here, that the father gave birth to a novel, to an evil creature, does not have joy from this event. The father gave birth to a creature, be for him nothing more than a source of sorrow. A foolish child is a source of sorrow. Now we actually had this back in Perigid Aleph, where there we quoted a medrash that says the word lesuga, it's a Gemara in Atbash. Atbash is where you interchange the first letter of the Aleph Beis with the last letter. They go through the entire pattern. And when you interchange the word tuga in the Atbash, it's afra. It's dust. So the tav turns into an aleph, the vav turns into a pei, the gimel turns into a resh, and the hey turns into af. What is the little problem? What? Give me 1 second. Let me go to the videotape. Give me 1 second. Let's go to the videotape here.
Go backwards 5 letters. It's a tzaddik.
It's tzaddik. So how does that make sense over here?
You count the tough and the stuff that don't.
I don't know. I'm guessing not. That's
so
why.
If we figure it wrong, then we have to.
You do it according to what you need.
Make it fit.
Sure.
Yes. Can we chart it out? Can we chart it out yet?
Okay, it's tugas. That's a different word. It's a different word. Okay, tugas, I made a mistake. The medrash, the primary medrash, is in Mishlei Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph. It's a different word there. That's why it doesn't make sense over here. It's a similar word, but there it says Mishlei Shlomo Bein Chocham Yisamachov Ubein Kisil Tugas Imo. Is the tugas, is the sorrow. Here, it's a different word. Here it's Lissuga. It's the same shoresh, but it has a hay at the end. So I really shouldn't. It's not this does not work in this pasuk. But back in Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph, where it says the word sugas, then it makes sense. Sugas and atbash is afra. In Aramaic, the end letter is usually in aleph, right. Not in hay. So tugas is afra, and that means I. Earth. What does it mean? Earth. It means dust.
Aether.
So afra here means ashes or dust in the eye of the mother. In other words, the sight. The eye is the life of a person. When a child gives a parent akmas nefesh, the Gemara says as if the child is pouring earth, dust, dirt, smoke, whatever, ash in the eye of the parent.
Irritant.
And that irritant, there's no greater irritant, there's no greater tsar than the pain that comes to the eye. The entire life of a person depends upon his eyesight. Parents' eyesight is dulled when the children cause them agmas nefesh. And that's why the word tugas is the word that is selected to express agmas nefesh, that a child causes a parent, because the word tugas, not bash, is afra. The Gemara uses this. What?
The heart of the...
The heart?
Of the parent. Suffers.
Okay, but it's the same idea. It's the outlook. The Gemara says when you want to get marry a girl, you should look at her eyes. If the eyes are good, she could wear a burqa. Okay, the cow going on a date, the girl wears a burqa. All you have to see is the eyes. If she has beautiful eyes, you know everything is good. Don't worry, no one's listening. No one's listening. The eyes. The Gemara says if the eyes look good, then everything is good. That's what it says about Leah. The Rachel Hoysa Yifas Toya Yifas Toya Leah Rakos. What does it mean Rakos? What does Rashi? What does the Targum say? Well, no, that's a Rashi. Rashi, she was crying. They were tender because she cried that she was going to marry Esav. But the Targum and a lot of the Rishonim say it means Rakos means they were beautiful. Yofyofos. Leah had beautiful eyes.
I thought she cried.
That's what Rashi says. We just said. Rashi says she cried because she was afraid. She was afraid that she was going to marry Esav. But the Targum Yonasan, the Targum Unkelis says it means she had beautiful eyes. So the Torah is not coming to insult anyone. The Torah is telling you that each one has milas. Rachel was Yifas Toyar Yifas Mare, whatever that means. And Leah had a different mila. The mila was she had beautiful eyes.
She Yaakov was unimpressed.
What?
Obviously, Yaakov was not impressed.
He wasn't looking at the eyes.
It says in the pasuk. Now, after she had four children,
third children,
she had a chelek.
I only have 2 wombs to carry.
You love Ishi Eli, so Yaakov.
He would have divorced her if she hadn't gotten pregnant. Right now.
You said that?
There are various midrashim. Various midrashim. Look, he's buried. Yaakov is buried with her. Right. He's in the Maris Machpelah. What more do you possibly want? What?
He never called anybody his wife except Rachel.
Rachel, the Keres Abayis. That when he put his after Rachel died, he put his tent, his bed in the tent of Bilah. My wife, Ishti, my wife. Okay,
that's the right.
Okay, but the bottom line is he was married to her, and the bottom line is he's buried next to her. In fact, I saw yesterday a beautiful Shabbat Torah from Rabbi Moshe Wolfson. He says Derech Agav. He doesn't say what I'm saying, but that's what really comes out. He says if you want a school of Shaduchim, you want people, they go to Meiron, they're running here, they're running there, they do all these crazy things. He says, you know where you should go for Shaduchim? The place to be Mispal for Shaduchim is the Maris Machpelah. That's the Sherish of Zivugim. Huchmulu Bezugos. You want a zug? A person needs a zug. This is Avraham, the others. They went through the great length, the great means to purchase the Maris Machpelah to be buried with their spouses. These are the zugos. This is the essence of a zug nitzri by a person, and therefore it's the makom that is appropriate. You could daven right here. Avada. You don't have to go. What? No, the Avos in Echnam of Yaakov Kamenetsky is the Gol Hador, but you can't. But
the new cemeteries, the men and women are buried separately.
It depends on the camera.
I know, but places, the men and women are not. Buried.
Of course, you go over here. Avada, you're supposed to go to cemetery. Even going to a non-Jewish cemetery, Chazal say there's an Indian to go to, but you can't deny.
That's not what
the Zama
said.
No,
to
the guys
that
the
men and women
to go to the
Kedushim. Right. The Kedushim Hashem, Avada. But still, you can't deny the others of the others. Avraham, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. You don't say in Shemoneh Esrei, Yaakov Kamenetsky. The others of the others. But it's not just the whole essence of the Maoros Machpelah is Shechuch Pelu Bezugois. Zugos. This is the sherish of the zugos of a person's bashert. And if a person wants to connect, so there's something to it. It's an unbelievable idea. And people don't think about it. You never hear this. You hear, oh, Shaduchim, Meirod. You go to Meirod, Amuka, all these mystical things, but you don't hear about the Ikarim. We get lost and we forget about the Ikarim. Okay, let's go further. So here we have over here this idea of V'nepach b'loshon yipol b'roy k'yodzel l'sugaloi v'lo yispach avinaval k'yisposach chaf aleph we did or l'sugalo Rashi is there a Rashi in posach chaf aleph? There is not posach beis leif samech yitev yitev geir. Interesting posach. A good heart yitev geir is good for one's health. The word geha is an unusual word in this context. It means refuah. It means one's health. A person has a good heart, a heart of simcha, he will merit good health. Veruach nichayo, a broken spirit, tiyadesh garim, causes one's bones to dry. The word garim does not really mean a bone. That's a borrowed translation. Garim means the marrow of the bone. It means that not only will the bone break, the bone, the sherish, the life of the bone, which is the marrow, even that will dry up. But in contrast, geha also means, gay means, according to the Mitzvot, doesn't just mean health, it means a person's complexion, his countenance, the most extreme part of the body. Forget about what's going on under the hood. It means a person's tzur, his hardest part of him, will shine when he's happy. And when he's sad, so even the deepest part of his body, what goes on all the way deep down underneath the hood, not just under the skin, all the way, not just in the sinews and the basa, but even the bones inside the bone, the marrow, even that's going to be dried up due to a person's broken spirit.
The pasuk here, the last part of the pasuk, the Gemara in Gittin quotes it.
Oh.
It makes it sound like the whole pasuk when it says Shmua Tov with the Dashin Etzem and it finishes.
Only the half and half of the pasuk. It's only half of the pasuk.
I understand.
We'll go that again in one moment. Two different halves.
You know, the outside and the bone marrow are very much related. I mean, when the bone marrow isn't working good, for example, you have an anemia.
Yeah.
The person is pale. The certain kinds of anemia turn the skin yellowish.
It goes, mikatsa lakatsa, there's a relation, there's a correlation. There's correlation to the external, the extreme external skin, marrow to the eye, to what is deep down inside. Okay, let's see pasuk habeis in the mitzudos stavid. Yetiv geha, hasimcha, simcha, tetiv luguf, kidvar refua, like a medicine. The shiver and ruach, a broken spirit, yavish, moyach, atzamos, dries up the marrow of the bones. Rashi, when a person is happy in this portion of life, his face lights up. So Rashi clearly holds that geha means your complexion. Is that the right word? Your complexion. Your complexion. But again, the Mitzudos does not learn that. Mitzudos says it's indirect.
The main arteries that cut.
And why? So why is it?
It's a
Krishna
Simcha, I guess.
Yeah, but Geha, according to the Mitzudos, doesn't really mean that. It doesn't mean your face, your complexion. It means your health. It means your health. Simcha Tedim Leguf Kedvar Refua. Okay, it doesn't say anything about your complexion. So two different perushim, what this unusual word Geha, what exactly means. And as Rabbi Yevsky quoted, we learned this before, quoted this the famous story with the Kesar. The Kesar, what happened there? I read you the whole Gemara. The Adohachi Os Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai had an audience with the Hadrian, or who was it? The Vespasianus.
Vespasian,
who ultimately became the Kesar. Adohachi Osa Piriska Ale Mirami. While Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was talking to this person, a Piriska means an officer arrived from Rome. Amole Kum, the Misle Kesar, the old Kesar has died. He probably was poisoned. They probably gave him something to drink, and he never woke up. Amale, what? How he died? That's a historical fact. Historical fact. They were all assassinated one after the other.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they had people. They had people to drink. They had people to drink. You know, it's very scary. We recently read a story about the people. Hitler, Yimach Shemo v'Zichro, was paranoid that someone was trying to poison him.
He was right.
Really? It was a natural thing.
And he had to young Jewish children. They tasted his food. Anything before Hitler ate anything, if there was first given samples of the food, were given to children to see if the food was poisoned.
Most kings did that.
But even this is modern times.
Yeah,
this goes back. What?
Yeah, they've been doing it in modern.
The Sar HaMashkim. Some learned that was the job of the Sar HaMashkim, the Sar HaOifim. Indeed, and Echonami. That's why in ancient times that was correct. The Sar HaMashkim, Sar HaOifim. But by the Roman emperors, the Roman Caesars. This is Mais and Mechol Yom. And then what was interesting is that they perfected the poison where there was a delayed effect, where they would give it to the tasters and they survived. And then the king thought there was no poison, and he drank it, and then everyone died. It just took a little bit longer. It was an art to learn how to poison. The king was an art. But even in the 20th century, Hitler, Yimach Shemo, he did this. And I read recently an article in a magazine where there are survivors still living today who were the tasters for Hitler, and they described the psychological damage that they suffered from this their entire life. No doubt, every single time they ate the food, they really, for real, thought they were going to die. And when you do it maybe one time, okay, you can recover. But when you're doing this on a daily basis, again and again and again, it can destroy you. A human being is a very delicate creature. It can destroy you. And these children who are now adults, there are some survivors still alive, as I read recently, is they their whole life, they suffered.
That's what they said happened to John Paul I after he died after 30 days. They said he was
poisoned. The popes were also poisoned. They also have, who did they have recently? They discovered one of the famous Arafat.
They did say that he was in jail.
Well, that's the Palestinians.
They said he died from poison.
Right. No, but they cleaned.
Well, there was a famous figure that they dug up his body and they did experiments. I don't remember who it was, and they claimed now that he was poisoned. I forgot who it was. They had this in the news about 2-3 years ago. Someone they thought he died from one disease, and they claimed now that he was poisoned. All right, whatever this is. But here, we're going over here into the case. The case that was died, and then they told him he knew the king, and the problem was he could not put on his shoe because he was in the middle of changing shoes, changing boots. And when they told him the good news that you are the Caesar, you are the new Caesar, his bones became swollen. So he asked Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, what should I do? I can't put on my boot. I can't get on my boots. So Amalei loitit stair. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said to him, "Need the Gemara Masechta Gidin after Nivav loitit stair shvua toiva asilach." And the pasuk says that when you have good news, the bones swell. Ella Maita Kante, he asked him, what then should I do? Let a person who you do not like, let him walk before you. Bring him, he should pass before you. The Siv, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai quoted this pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a Baki Muflagin in Tanakh. Veruach Necheya Tiyabe Shkarim. A broken spirit will cause one's bones to dry up, and that will cause your bones to contract, and the boot will fit. Avar Hochi, he did this ayil, and the boot went on his foot. It's very amazing because it's just today when this happens, such things that we really get excited about something to the degree today that our bones swell. You can't put on your shoes, and really, are there people out there that we hate so much when they walk in front of us, the bones swell to the degree where now your shoes can fit on? I don't know. Maybe yeah. Is there such a degree of hatred and simcha? Also, what were these people doing by him? If he was such a powerful person, the Aspasianus, if he was such a powerful person, so he had people in his vicinity that he hated so much that he was able just to bring them in front of him, and his bones would contract. It's a very bizarre Gemara. And the shoes were so tight. Really, the shoes are so tight. They make such a difference. Today it doesn't happen. Today the shoes, there's some wiggle room in your shoe. So I don't know what this means. This obviously, there has to be something much deeper than what meets the eye. It just seems to, something doesn't seem right. Okay, when you learn it when you're a child, okay, so you just go through it. But if you think about it, it must be Chazala revealing here very great secrets. Could be, we're dealing over here with people, a lot of emotion, with a lot of fervor, a lot of different type of life. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Ashochad Mecheg Rasha Yikoch. Ashochad is taken from the Chek, the bosom of a Rasha, Lahatois Orchois Mishra, in order to redirect the ways of judgment. Now, what does this mean? Chav Gimel, the Mitzudos says, what's the word chayk? Chayk means a bosom, but in this context, it's a mashal for hiddenness. When you give a bribe, you don't walk into court in front of the judge, and the judge says, "I'm about to issue my verdict," and you say, "Excuse me, judge, I have here are my credit cards. Go and have a nice day. Do what you want." You don't do that. It's not going to work. The bribe is given b'seser. It's given in the middle of the night when no one sees. That's the lashon of chayk. It's given secretly. Sheichad harasha yikach sheichad mechayk hanoisin. The rasha, the evil man, is the judge. Okay, so that's a very important point that the Mitzvah makes here, is that the evil person, the rasha of the pasuk, is the judge. He is taking sheichad mechayk hanoisin from the bosom of the noisin. What does that mean? B'seser rav. In concealment, in secrecy, leman clandestinely, leman hatoyis orchas mishpat, in order to pervert the way of judgment, lezakoisai bedin, the judge should declare this litigant innocent. Rashi has a beautiful medrash. Rashi says, who here, first of all, the Rosh, according to Rashi, is not the judge, chas v'shalom, can be nothing more. Hashem is the judge in this instance. So Hashem is not the Rasha. Who is the Rasha? The Rasha means a Rasha, literally a person who does sins. And when he's giving a bribe, what's the bribe? Usishuva, usefila, utzedaka, ma'avir nesuroya ha'gezera. It doesn't mean a bribe in a normal sense. It means, and where does that bribe come from? When a person wants to give tshuva, tefila, utzedaka, it must come from the chayk. It must come come from the panemius. You have to do tshuva with sincerely. When the tshuva is done with sincerity, that is kaviyachal in Chazal's terminology, as if you're bribing Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's willing to yisa Hashem pana vilecha yasem l'cha shalom. Hashem is willing to go and favor you and do good things. You look at Rashi, leiv samechit mishechad mechik rasha yikach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kabel accepts divrei hachna, words of humility, upius, and pius here means to enticement, to mefayis, to pacify, pacification. Mechei rasha, from the bosom of the rasha, keloimar beseser beino lebeinam, between him and them. The rasha here, beinam, the plural beinam, means between the rasham, and it means beseser. So I'm not sure. I said it means with sincerity. Okay, could be the medrash more alludes to the sincerity. There's a medrash where Rashi really drawing from the medrash. Rashi just means that beseser, when you confess, this Rashi is another concept, is that when you say vidui, we all know this, you're supposed to say vidui silently. It's no one's business to hear your sins. Yashrei kisui pesha. The Gemara does a drasha that you're not. It's not a good thing for a rav to get up and tell the oilam.
What?
You tell people your sins. The only time you're supposed to confess publicly is when the sin was done in public. When the sin is a steer, there are two psukim. One pasuk, I don't remember the psukim, but one pasuk says a person should confess publicly, and another pasuk says Ashrei kisui pesha. It's a good idea to cover up your sins. And the Gemara's contradiction. The answer is, if you've sinned publicly, you must confess publicly. You must. People must be aware that you have charata. If you have sinned privately, no one knows what you have done. So and no one's knocking on your door. They're not launching an FBI investigation to uncover your sins. Something which has been adam lamakayim, a person, whatever he did. So you don't have to reveal it. Adrab, revealing your sins to the tzibur is going. They're going to look down at you, and you're not going to be successful in trying to influence them to do good. So here, when it says that the Rishon are confessing b'seiser, it means they don't have to come out publicly. As long as they did not do an avera publicly, it's no one's business to go and reveal their sins in public. That itself is an important limud. That it's b'cheik. Okay. Shoichad mechek. So if we have, just to review, we have mamash machlekes Rashi and the Mitzudos mikotz lakotz. Who is the Rasha? According to Mitzudos, the Rasha is the mekabel, the judge, and the shoichad is being paid by a litigant who is a no good for nothing. And according to Rashi, the Rasha is the one that's paying the shoichad, but the shoichad is being paid in doing tshuva and ma'asim tovim hachno lufnei hakadosh baruch hu.
So is this? Normally we say
Shaykh Yavar blinds the eyes. This is a mushal. This is Sefer Mishlei. The word Shaykhad here, according to Rashi, the Medrash, is interpreted very loosely. The context means a bribe. It means benefit. It means brushing off the dandruff of the judge. Here it means, it's a mushal. Here we're referring to a person who needs to tshuva. I don't deserve it. If you'll judge me, I deserve to die. I deserve to suffer. But I'm asking you to do me a favor. And the way I'm going to pay you is by doing tshuva, hacharata, avidu, itztaka, ma'asim tovim, u'shuva, u'svila, u'tztaka, ma'avin, israya, gezerah. Think about it. Do we really deserve it? We don't really deserve it. We're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for a gift. What are we giving you in return? We're doing your will. We're humbling ourselves. That, in essence, is a bribe. But that's a good type of bribe. Everything that's no good can also be good. It says, lo, low tignoy, don't steal. And there's a psik between the word low and the word tignoy, because Chazal Darshan put a psik tignoy. There are times when you do have to steal. When do you steal? You have to steal time. You have to chap time away from your daily life in order to study HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzofai, what do you teach children by the Seder? Controversial minhag. To steal the afikoyman. Many gedolim were very upset with this. Everyone is watching, the goyim are watching, and they wanted to abolish this minhag of stealing the afikoyman. However, some are very into the whole that it should be done, because there is what it mean this. This still means there is a time when you have to steal. You have to steal from yourself. You have a life, you have a plan in life, but you have to steal from yourself in order to accomplish more than you can. And here as well, a sheikhat is not, in this context, according to the Midrash, this is a very powerful lesson, is not necessarily negative. A sheikhat can be interpreted in this context in positive form. Period. Let's go further. Pasuk Chav Dal. It's Pnei Mevin Chachma. This is a beautiful pasuk. Very powerful musar in this pasuk. Es Pnei Mevin Chachma. The face of a Mevin is Chachma. Okay, we'll see what that means in a moment. But V'enei Chesil B'Ktzei Aretz. I guess Pnei means the presence. The Mevin, we read the words a little backwards. A person who is a smart person. Chachma. He can fight. He faces Chachma. Where is Chachma? Wherever he goes. You sit on the bus. You're on the bus. You're on the train. You look at an advertisement. You know, some of the advertisements are Mali Chachma. Tremendous, tremendous Chachma. Chachma ba'am and tamim. Some of the neshtoimim from the Chachma. Look, the commercials. The Super Bowl Sunday's coming up soon. Okay, so some of those commercials are unbelievable. Some of them are just so stupid and silly. What?
That's the pshat. They're so stupid you remember.
You're retracted.
Maybe that itself is a chachma. Right. That itself is a chachma. How much do they spend? They spend the whole year on this. Maybe years. They spend to prepare for 30-second clip. When how many millions of people are watching? 30, 40 million people are watching the Super Bowl. They're watching these commercials. What? More than 40 million people? There are only 300 million people in America.
Worldwide.
Okay, so worldwide. So these commercials, even got onto the Shemisha websites. A massive, yeah. Massive, they only put the clean ones on. they don't show you the non-sneer sticker ones. But the ones that are clean, it's Mole Chochma. Mole Chachma. You don't have to go anywhere. Wherever you look, there's Chachma. But a Kasil says, Chachma, no, not here. Chachma, I have to go to Harvard. Only can find Chachma at MIT. I have to go to Oxford. Ah, there I'll find Chachma. I'll go to a lecture. That's okay, it's also true. But the Chacham, the Maven, Shlomo HaMelech is telling us a Maven, a wise, clever man, can find Chachma right in front of his eyes. El Pene, right, staring you in the face, Chachma. Es Pene, Maven Chachma. Chachma is Es Pene, is staring at you in the face of a Maven. But the foolish person, the Enek Seal, the eyes of the Bixaris, oh, Chachma, I gotta go travel all the way to who knows where, to Yehupnitz, to go find something. To find something. The grass is always greener on the other side. Let's see what it says over here. This is a very powerful story.
Everybody knows that the grass is greenest over a cesspool.
A cesspool.
What you did before you smoked?
Let's see what it says in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Chav Dalas Pnei HaChochma Mitzuya Lifnei HaMevin Ki Yilmad Mikol Adam. You can learn from everyone. Mikol Adam Hiskalti. I became wise from every person. Avlak Sil Yeshaytetu Eino B'Ktzeretz. His eyes are gazing to the ends of the earth. Ki Yachshev. In his foolishness, he thinks Yem Mimukam Yilmad Menu. There's no one here. There's no one in Flatbush that can teach me something I don't know. You gotta go. There's no one in Flatbush. That's what they say. They're very critical. There are people going, why are all the Bachim going to Eretz Yisrael? There are plenty of good yeshivas local in America. Where are you running from? Running away. That is a foolish thing to say. Okay, what does it say over here in Rashi? Rashi, a little bit of a twist. Rashi doesn't translate the way the Mitzvah is a little bit different. Let's take a look. Chav Dalid. By the way, we left that one Rashi in the previous pasuk. Lahatas orchos mishpah lahapach dina meirol l'toyva. Okay, to overturn his din, the bribe is turned medina meirol l'toyva. Rashi l'shitasa, we refer to tshuva. When you do tshuva, you mafayis HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rip up the gezerah from meirol l'toyva. Pasuk Chav Dalid in the Rashi. Es pnei meivin chochma. Chochma lifnei meivin hu. Okay, es pnei, you have to read these words out of order. A maven A maven is the first word of the pasuk. Es penei, then says penei chokhma. Chokhma is right in front of his face. Or maybe the other way around. Chokhma is penei. It would be probably better to read the first word chokhma. Chokhma is es penei maven in front of the wise man. This trick is always in Pesukim and Levim is always take the pasuk and read the words in a different order, and it very quickly makes a lot of sense. The enei kesil b'ktzei aretz. What does this mean? Loimar. The foolish person says Chachma is not mitzui lefanai ki rechoike hi mina. It doesn't mean to go to the end of the earth. It means it's not for me. I cannot possibly master Shas. I cannot possibly master Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, Tanakh. It's too much. It's too vast. Why? Ki rechoike hi mina. It's far from me in ability. Now this is a very beautiful thing. This touched upon the ancient Nesachos. We're brainwashed. Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. That's not so. There used to be one Mesech called Mesechta Nizokin. Mesechta Nizokin, that's the name of the Mesechta. Mesechta Nizokin. And then the printers could not put it into one volume, so they broke it up into three parts. They called it Bava Kama. Bava means a gate, the Bava Kama, the Bava Metzia, and the Bava Basra, the middle gate and the end gate. But it's really one Mesechta. We make a triple seam on the three Babas. But it's really one Mesechta, Nizakim. And you see that in the ancient words of the Rishonim, and this Rashi is a very good example of it's how can I learn Seder. One thing though is a little bit difficult. Why does Rashi call it Seder instead of Mesechta? That is curious. It should really be Mesechta, as he says when it comes to Kalim in the moment. But he says over here, Seder Nizikin, because Seder Nizikin is not just the three Babas, it's all of the other Mesechtas. How many Mesechtas? A couple of Mesechtas in Seder Nizakin, there's the whole collection. Yeah. But he calls it over here, he calls Nizakin a Seder Shulamit Perakin. Then how could I learn Mesechta? He calls it Mesechta Kalim Lamid Perakim, 30 Perakim. And interesting is that you look in the Svarim, when they refer to Kalim, the other way around, they call Kalim the Bava Kama, Bava Mitzia, Bava Basra. The Kalim is also divided by some of the Achrayim into three Babas. Bava Kama, the first 10 Parakim, the second 10 Parakim, the third Parakim. It's a very famous Sefer, I know what it's called in Kalim, and it's talking divided into three volumes, Bava Kama, Bava Mitzia, Bava Basra. Okay, then how can I learn Mesechta Shabbos? Chof Dal Parakim. Shabbos, there are 24 Parakim. That's quite a big Mesechta. Avo L'chacham, so that's Rechoika. A foolish person fools himself with the thing that it's too hard for me to master Shas. Avol lechacham who davar kal hayoyim shoynes shnei parakim umachar shnayim today two tomorrow two v'yomer kach osu v'yomer kach osu son that's how I'll do them she hoyu lefonai me'olam
v'yomer before me did the same
kach osu oisan she hoyu lefonai and those people came before me. They learn two parakim mishnayis a day. Two parakim mishnayis a day, Mr. Weiss, if he was here today, he will love us. He tells me, he's been learning his whole life as a Mishnah Yoimis. And that's not one Mishnah he learns. I don't know what he learns. A parak a day, or a few mishnayis a day. He has a whole Seder. And he went through mishnayis many, many times. So this, and Nechnami, this...
once a month.
The whole Shish of the Mishnah. Gantz Zach, wow. Okay, take off his tefillin. When he took off his tefillin, he was shrugged off with it. He would say of Mishnayis.
Rav David said that the Rashi was made a Siman Shas at the least that he knows 200 times.
And Gemara and Talmud. And then Mishnayis ain't Mispar on Chajing Mishnayis. Okay, but the people what?
I remember reading the analogy, someone looks at a pile of earth and says, how am I going to put that all back?
A little today.
And you do a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow.
One thing at a time.
Otherwise you're going to give up. How can I take
that? That's right. You got to just do a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow. That's how it goes. That's how it is. You know, just to derech Mishnayis, me'osher shmeina lachmai. We know that Mishnayis is shmeina. Shmeina is the oisiyos of Mishnah, and osher. Osher is the the shevet that, for whatever reason, is associated with learning Mishnayos, and Osher means happiness, and therefore it means that a person learns Mishnayos, it's a skula to happiness in life. To live happily ever after is to learn Mishnayos. We all learn, unfortunately, it's very silly when a person, Achmel's son, is Niftar, they put out the sheets, and people come to learn Mishnayos, to the Aliyah of the Neshama. And it's very hard, not everyone is a celebrity where the sheets, all the names get filled up, all the Mesechtas. And if not, you have to go and beg people to finish, or hire people to finish the Mishnayos. And even people that finish the Mishnayos, do they really learn the Mishnayos? How many times have we signed up? And have we really learned the Mishnayos at least the way it should be learned? You get desperate to listen, you just read it up. Is that what we really want for ourselves? That someone should learn Mishnayos like this? What's the solution? Don't rely upon someone. Do it yourself. Prepare. In your own lifetime, learn the Mishnayos yourself the way you want it to be learned, so you don't have to rely upon someone to do it for you.
It's like
a person
have an operation, they store their own blood.
That's right, exactly. Exactly. So it's a very powerful Musa Haskel. When you go to a base Ovel, you have to look at yourself. Is this what I want for me? When I am this way, I'm going to Beis Ovel and I see the Mishnayos on the table and I see that 80% is blank. And I know even the 20% that's filled in, oh, I look at the name. This guy. Yeah, really. Really. He's gonna learn in Mishnayos.
Nobody wants to do it.
So isn't it very sad?
So
the Musar Haskell is you have to look at yourself and say the day will come, it's just a matter of time. No one lives forever. It's a matter of time until the tables are gonna be turned. We're gonna be on the other end. And there's gonna be people walking in and they're gonna be looking at these charts. We need these people. Do we have to rely upon these people? Ooh, a good line. So the answer to this, the most rascal is today. Hayoim, don't delay to get down to learning Mishnayos.
Can you store it up like that?
Yes, you can. What you store up, Nitzri, it's better than storing up. You take it with you.
Mishnayos.
You take it with you. It's Oisios Neshama. Mishnah is Oisios Neshama. It's Oisios Neshama.
From Saskim, one of those sheets, put my name on it.
Right. I'm not joking. I'm really not joking. There's nothing. There's nothing greater you can do for your neshama than learn Mishnayos. I'm not joking. It's an obligation to learn Mishnayos. It's the most unbelievable thing. I'm very chavrusa. He ever since he got me into it, it's like unbelievable. It's like the best seder of the day. To learn a little, just learn Mamish a little bit. Learn a Mishnah day, two Mishnayos, just to learn a little bit. It's a chias.
I tell you, art school.
It's the ultimate investment.
Art school is very deep.
Yeah. What? No, art school is not for everyone. Yad Avram, I'm not saying anything. Yad Avram is a little bit overboard. I'm telling you the best thing. I used to learn you use Kahati.
Right.
And then I discovered that the best parish is the Rav.
Right.
You don't even need Kahati.
Yeah.
Kahati is too much. Just learn the Rav. And if you get stuck on a Rav, so then you're looking at Kahati. What? The Baritunura. The Baritunura, he was probably an early Acharon, one of the earliest Acharon, what is it, 6th century? It's very easy, the Rav, and they have, if you want, the best Mishnayos, hands down, is the Mishnah Behira. The Mishnah Behira, they're very expensive, these thin little volumes, they have pictures for every little thing.
I get stuck on
Mishnah Behira. Yeah, go. You're not going to get stuck. You're not going to get stuck on the Mishnah Behira. You go to any store, ask them. They'll show you a picture of it. Yeah, they'll show you a picture of it. They had a Hagdama, one of the Mishnah Behira from one of the big Gedolei Yisrael, Lamish, one of the, I don't remember who it was. And he writes that his whole life he learned Mishnah, he thought this is his thing. And he learned the Mishnah Behira. And he was in awe, like he never really appreciated the pshat of the Mishnah. Even though he learned the Mishnah 1,000 times, until he saw the Mishnah Behira, there's the simple illustration of and the caption of the illustration of what it means in the Mishnah. It's noyed of ha'oyim. I don't know how they learned Mishnayos until this mechaber came along.
Do that.
You want the Mishnayos every day?
Yeah.
Till 12:30?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something to think about. Okay, well, think about it. It's not a bad idea. Okay, maybe not. It's not a bad idea. But it's expensive. I would only lower the mission of the Hira. It's an expensive piece. It's like $20 a piece for each person. The Kalor could spend 10 minutes a day, maybe, learning of Mishnah, maybe. Mishnah Behira, but again, I'm not joking. Mishnayos is Oisios Neshama, and it's the best investment you can possibly make for your Neshama.
You're going to publicize an FJJ and say, we give a certificate that we shake with
you. Gift certificate. Okay, let's go further. And you should know, if you know the Mishnayos, the Daf Yomi, it's a piece of cake. Mamish, a piece of cake. If you know Mishnayos, Sechet Yevamos, you think Yevamos is hard? The hard part of Sechet Yevamos is the Mishnayos. The Rav, there's no one that knows how to be Mazvir like the Rav. The Rav Bar Tanura, at least the more, I've never seen a commentator in my whole life that Koyach Hasbara, short and sweet. It's noir of oyim that there can be a human being in this world that has such a koyach hasbara. No, I don't mean to say anything bad about Rashi. I find personally it's a very hard parish. The depth of Rashi is noir of oyim. Rashi, there's no one greater than Rashi. But the Bar Tanura has a different agenda, and the Bar Tanura has a Baal Masbir. Yeah, there should be studies, worldwide studies, to understand the koyach of the Baal Tanura, how he was able to explain difficult concepts in such few words, with such simplicity. You don't need the Kahati. I made that mistake for many years. It's very, it's very good. It's gewaldig. But sometimes you get burdened. It's a lot. It's intense. It's beautiful, the Kahati. But sometimes it can burden you down, the Kahati.
He brings a lot of times in the Gemara.
Yeah, but you know what? The Rav does the same thing. The Rav does the same thing. He brings down all the Gemaras. The kids, you don't even realize he's throwing you through a whole Shaka Tari Gemara in 5 words. You don't even realize it. And especially if you have some background learning Daf Yomi, it all comes back. It's all there. There's nothing like learning Mishnayos. Yes, the Rav? You know something? I don't know. They don't know the Rav? The Rav Mamish? I'm not aware.
It's hard a lot of times. Translate something.
There's an English translation of the Kahati.
Yes.
There's another popular. What?
No, I can't take it.
It's like a computer translation.
It's out of print.
Okay.
Kahati got superseded.
The art scroll is a very small niche. The art scroll is a very small niche. They were doing it now. They put out two. They have now 3 volumes, I think, or 2 volumes of Mishnayos.
Did it help him?
No, not the Yad Avram. Art School now is putting out a new series of Mishnayos.
Make it easier. It's
like the Art School Gemara, a watered down, a very watered down version. It's like the Rav, pretty much like the Rav, pretty much almost like a translation of the Rav, in the style of the Art School Gemara. You have to check it out. They put out, I think, two volumes already they put out. New series of Mishnayos. The Yad Avram is an encyclopedia. It's an encyclopedia, and it's not for the faint of heart. It's a heavy, heavy duty parish. And that's why now a lot of people have a hard time with it, and there's really very few options for English.
The feedback got.
Of course, it's passion. It's not, look at the sales. Look at the sales. All they have to look at is the sales.
They need new things to sell. So they have to tell them.
And it also, but this is geared towards this generation. It's like an interlinear type of a. It's very, very good. Okay, let's go further.
You cannot get that in English.
You probably online. You probably can get it. They probably have it. Probably online. You can get it. Try online, and also it might be available for free on the computer, HebrewBooks.org, things like that. Okay, let's go further to the next pasuk. Where are we up to? Okay, so this is the Rashi. Rashi over here says you learn a little bit today, and then you will come. Then. the concept of the Ksil and the Maven of Chachma. Pasuk Chaf Hey. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Hey. Kas La'aviv Bein Ksil Nemer Li Yoladito. Now, in this Pasuk, we're introducing us to the parents, the mother and the father. Parents that give birth to a child that's a ksil. But we learned in the previous past, the ksil is the foolish child, and according to Rashi, according to him, ksil doesn't mean foolish, it means evil. That's if you want to be consistent. In the previous psukim, Rashi translated the ksil as not just a fool, but a rasha, an evil child who does aderos. When a father sees that he has a son that is a ben ksil, he is molikas. Anger, it brings him anger. But to the mother, it's much worse. Nemer liyo ladato, it's a source of bitterness. What's worse, bitterness or kas? So the Medrash says bitterness is double as bad as kas. It's double. Kas is anger. But bitterness, this week's parasha, vayimoru eschayehem ba'avoido kasha. If the king would have just raised the taxes, the people would have gotten angry. Like today. When the politicians raise our taxes, they invent new taxes, so they do new crazy things, so we get very angry. But Paro didn't just raise the taxes, he enslaved them. So what did he do to them? Vayimoruru. He embittered their lives. Nemer is a double dosage of kas. Here the mother is umemer liyoladito, the mother is bitter. The mother is bitter. Bitter.
Bitter.
Bitter, yeah. That's what I mean. So it's bitter. Okay, but in this, that's a nemer. Let's see the mitzvah siyon. What is he tied to? Nemer meloshon merirus. Good point. I don't know. It's the resh mar is bitter. Like over here, I call the chazan. The chazan was sitting there. Chazan, he told me. Who told me this? Oh, Simcha. Not him. Rabbi Kalish. Rabbi Kalish, who's going to Florida for a few weeks, but he told me that people have a custom to say, you give someone a bracha. Give you a bracha, this, and then how do you respond? V'chein lamar. Or Lamar. He told me he's supposed to say Lamar. The Rabbi Cohen says that it's wrong. It's Lamar. There's no such word as Mar. Bechin Lamar. Okay, whatever it is. So he told me the name, I think the name of Simcha. Of Simcha Wasimin, and maybe I'm mistaken, maybe he's referring to one of his aides. The Chassidus Rebbe says he would be very mocked, but you should not say Bechin Lamar, because Mar means bitterness. So you should not associate a Baracha with a word that is bitter. And he said that people, that he, every time people they say this to him, so he always tells them this first, so he has a reputation, having that reputation, so when they see him and he gives them bracha, they say back to him, V'chein limosuk. Sweet. And so for the sweet one. And so for the sweet one. Bohu. Bohu. He says to you, Bohu. Bracha v'atzlach. Kain matuk, so shall it be sweet. Sweet. Oh, so yeah?
You say
matuk. Matuk, sweet. Ziskite. So that's what he's. So he, the word memer liyolato is bitter liyolato for the mud. Let's see over here. Pasachavi the mitzudas kas laavav ben kesil who maches laavav. He caused the father anger. Morer the emo caused the mother asher yolato is bitterness in the mother that gave birth to child. Rashi pasuk chafei kas laavav ben kesil kagon you wrote. Now here Rashi is jumping to the medrash. Now Rashi says, who is the father? Father in midrashic terms is Ribbono shel Olam, Avinu shebashamayim. And the mother in the midrashic terminology is Klal Yisrael, the nation, the Ma'im, the nation. So Kas, who is the one called Yerav Menavat? What did he do? He went and he divided Klal Yisrael. Kasul Hakadosh Baruch Hu Memer Lilato Lekneses Yisrael Shehechti Yisam. He caused them to sin. Okay, now the Medrash. What? Kasil the Kasil. So Rashi in the previous parak, in the beginning of this parak, I don't remember where we tied Kasil as a Rasha. A Kasil, it depends on the context. A foolish person, the person who rebels, who does evil deeds. In Achanami, so it all depends on the context. Sometimes it means foolishness, he just lacks intelligence. He was not born with the gift of intelligence. And sometimes it means the person's an evil genius. He's a wise man, but he chooses to be evil. In this context, it means over here, an evil genius.
Which plays devil's advocate.
Okay, now there's a very. Well, I know. I once overheard a conversation. Two people. It was a very, very disturbing conversation in yeshiva about a person. Rachman Litzlan. There was a child. The child was nifter, and the parents were very distraught. The child, whatever, the whole, it's a long story what happened, and a certain person, his grandfather, was also a very big talmid chacham, and he was also very shaken up. I not to go through all the details, but basically what came out of the conversation, I was just eavesdropping, shouldn't have been eavesdropping, is that this talmid chacham was very concerned for his daughter, but was not so concerned for his son-in-law. Not because it's a son-in-law, it's not a blood relative, it's because his son-in-law is a very big talmid chacham. And he basically confided in someone that his son-in-law, he'll get over it. Why? Because he has a blat gemara. But his daughter, she doesn't have a blat gemara. She doesn't learn. I mean, she has 10 kids, whatever it is. You know, she's not, I'm not talking about society. I'm not getting into society. She doesn't have a distraction in life that can take away the tsar of what has happened. The son, he's a Talmud Chacham. He's oisik in learning with his Talmidim. He's oisik in Torah. When you learn Torah, it gives you a hashkafa, it gives you a hadrach, it gives you a derech. But a woman, even the greatest tzaddikus, she was the Ikaris Habayis. She's home with the children. She's not involved in intellectual pursuits, not in Ruchnias. And she doesn't have the Blat Gemara to give her Nechama. And it's much, much harder for her to deal with this matzav than a man. And to some degree, that's really what it means here in this pasuk. A way of a child that's not giving the parents nachas. So for the father, it's kas. It's a grois tzara. Don't minimize what it means, kas. But for the mother, it's bitterness. Because the mother, a woman, b'derech klal, has less distractions, less forms of spiritual things in her life that can take away the tsar that can result from tragedies in life. And the Musar Haskel for us is sensitivity. That when you deal with people that are going through difficult times, you have to be much more sensitive to the women than you are to, not because women are, they're very gentle and they have a nature of rahmanis. That's also true. But women, especially in certain circles who are raising children, they're locked into a certain environment where they don't have the distraction to take them away, to channel the grief. And therefore, it demands of us to be much more sensitive to women than to men. This was what I took out of this. No, I'm dealing with the Medrash says there's different degrees of pain. Okay, that's what the Medrash says. Kas means anger. I don't know, psychologists define all the different madregas and what these are, but the Medrash basically says, appears to say, different madregas of frustration.
Because bitterness, for example, Rashi's Marshall, is towards an individual, right? Yisrael to Yerubim ben Nevat. So you're focusing your bitterness. You're not despondent to Yerubim ben Nevat. You're bitter. You're angry.
It caused Klal Yisrael to become bitter because they rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But in this case, the example you gave,
yeah,
of a woman, if she's not, I mean, who's she going to be bitter against? Who's she going to be bitter against?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is she going to be bitter against?
If you take bitter versus despair.
Yeah, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Against her lot, against her life. What is she living for? It's a terrible thing.
All right, so does one equate, so I come back to my question, do you equate being down, depressed, whatever you want to term it?
I don't know. That's clinical depression. You have to go talk to psychologists. These are all complicated terms. I don't know.
Right.
Just let's be as simple as possible. We all know what it means. We all know what it means to be frustrated.
Right.
Who are we fooling? We all know what it means. Things don't go the way you like. You're frustrated. You're bitter. You're bitter. So sometimes the bitterness can lead to a clinical depression, and you have to go for professional help, for medication. Okay, let's not go there. Let's just talk about just basic concepts. I was once personally involved tell you another story. I was involved once in a little sechsuch. And a sechsuch, some type of a
misunderstanding.
What's it called? Scuttle?
Greater than that.
Some type of a conflict, personal conflict. And I was summoned to go to a rav, to a certain rav. And the rav, they took me to a rav to strain things out with this little fight that I had with this person. And the person I had was a little older than me, a lot older than me, and he wasn't a Talmud Chacham. He was just a very, very, whatever, very slim person. And and the Rav, he mamash said this to me. He basically said to me that I should stand down. The Rav said to me, you just stand down and cool off and be mevater. And he said to me, this person doesn't have a blat gemara. That was his words. He doesn't have a blat gemara. He doesn't have a daf gemara. Basically says to me, you have other things in your life to keep you busy. This person, you know, this is what he does. This is what he has in life. This is his thing. So just let him have it. Yeah. Let him have it. And you go on with your life. And you go, it's a minor thing. Whatever. It's not. It's a dvar metalim. I look back at dvar metalim.
For him, it was important, but for you.
But he made this point to me. He said to me, you know, Baruch Hashem, he told me that Hashem gave you a matana. He gave you. Are you able to learn a little piece of Gemara? You go to yeshiva. You do what you do. You have your daily routine. So go back to your daily routine and let this person have his hanah because that's all he has. And it made a very strong impression on me, and I always think about it. And then when that story happened, it probably happened some time with that incident, a very big tragedy, and what this Talmud Chacham said, that he's more concerned about, and he said mamash the same word, because his son-in-law has blat gemara. He has things to help him get through it, but the woman, the daughter, doesn't have that, and she dwells on it, and it can just get out of control.
Why doesn't she learn that
blat gemara? Ain't no chenami. Well, she could if she wants, but the thing is, the mayas shahoya kachoya. That's a hashkafa problem. Start all over again. Go back, rewind to the beginning of creation. We're not going there. You're right. That's a different discussion. But this is hinted to here in this pasuk. This entire idea is rooted here in these very powerful words. You have a ben kesil. There's no greater form of agmas nefesh in this world than children who don't do what you want them to do. That's pashat adma. You don't have to have children to know that. From observance, you can know that's the Dar Pashat. And here it says, look at this, the father is kas, he is upset. And the mother, it's nemer, it's bitterness. Why the difference? It's a mitzias. And part of the mitzias is, Hashem made men, gave men, b'derech klal, things to do to distract them. And Hashem did not give women that many things, as many things. And what nafgamin is, our sensitivity towards other people that find themselves in a difficult situation. Okay, with that we will conclude.